Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here, and your column today on federalnewsradio.com is an offer you cannot refuse, and yet there are not too many of these offers floating around anymore.
Not too many. We're talking about buyouts, of course, and the amount of the buyout, which is $25,000 before deductions, hasn't changed since the first one was offered in the mid-1990s. Reason for that is in the 1990s, the Clinton administration wanted to thin the herd. They wanted to get rid of something like 347,000 federal jobs, and they wanted to preserve the diversity gains they had made. And so that would have meant the first people fired in a reduction force, a RIF, would be the, you know, it's the first hire, last hired, first fired rule. So they knew this would get rid of so many of the young people they brought in.
Right.
And so they aimed it at older white males who were military veterans. They had veterans' preference. And in a RIF, they would bump down through the ranks, and that would not have the desired effect. So they figured out the dollar amount, and they thought $25,000 in 1993, 94 was a lot more than it is today. It was enough to buy a good car and then some. And so they offered these buyouts, and it worked. They haven't changed the amount since, despite inflation and higher federal salaries and all that. And what we've been talking about it from time to time, actually the fact that there aren't many buyouts going around right now. The season's coming up. They're most, cost effective to the agency in October, November, and December of the year, the first part of the fiscal year. So we'll probably be hearing something later on this year of buyouts possibly coming in the first of the fiscal year. But what intrigued me was a reader listener wrote in and said, here's what they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, anytime anybody offers to do the math, I defer.
I defer to them.
And he did it. I think he came out with a figure of equivalent today of $25,000 would be $62,000 and change, I believe he said.
That's right. It's pretty amazing. And I was about to say, your audience and the audience of this radio station is so smart, and they catch on to these kinds of things very quickly. Bill at the GPO, your correspondent, did it both directions. And the piece of it, I thought that was good. The 62.5 number is what it would take in 1995 dollars to be equivalent to the 25 grand then. But the other way is interesting too, because he writes that if you figure it the other way, if you figure in 2014 dollars, what 25,000 was then, that means that you're essentially only getting a 10 grand.
Yeah.
And there's not much buying power in $10,000 because it turns into 7,500 right off the bat.
Yeah, I like to slice and dice both ways.
So that concept, it really feeds what you and I have talked about before, which is the idea that if you need the buyout, if that's why you're taking it, because you really need that money, you shouldn't quit.
You shouldn't go. It's the old line, when you walk into a store, if you have to ask how much it costs, you can't afford it.
That's right.
And there's much to that.
Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here, and you wrote about this. You got this note from Bill in response to your column about whether you can afford a buyout or not. And that's it's pretty much that concept.
It really is. And again, you know, without being flippant, but if your financial situation is such that you're going to quit your daytime job and quit building retirement points and all that sort of thing in order to get what after taxes, depending on your bracket, your state and whatnot, may be $15,000 to $18,000, and if you're going to give up everything to get that immediate chunk of change, you probably should consider something else.
Now, you made it a good point in your column yesterday too, that I don't know if the employees think about it from this perspective, but if you make 60 grand or more, and they pay you $25,000 to leave, that's a great bargain for them.
Absolutely.
That's a good deal.
And again, do that in the first part of the fiscal year, October, November, December. Very cost effective for the agency, assuming, of course, they don't refill your job. But it does open, I think one thing, I suspect when a lot of younger people, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, hear about buyouts, their eyes glaze over because they're not in the market. It doesn't mean anything to them. But in fact, it does. And there's two groups that win, when you have a buyout, that's the people who take it and the people, and the other winners, the people who don't take it,
uh-huh.
the ones left behind, who, and that opens up the promotion pipeline. And it, when and if they get this phased retirement in, I think you're going to start seeing a lot of combinations, buyouts, and things like that, because part of the deal in the phased retirement is that someone will spend, I believe it's 20% of their time mentoring somebody, mentoring their successor. And that could be a great help in any job.
The Thrift Savings Plan numbers for April are in. And if you were not in the S Fund, you had a pretty good month. Things went up a little bit. But I wonder, we report these numbers yeah. every month. But from time to time, I wonder if maybe it's overdoing it a little bit by reporting them at all, because if you're looking month to month at your equities funds,
yeah, you shouldn't be doing
it. You're probably
that.
Doing it wrong.
I had a friend, this was 20 years ago, and he was going to write a short science fiction piece, but he was talking about 20 years in the future would be about now, and they would have invented a wristwatch radio a la the Dick Tracy one, but
yep.
this one he in his story would monitor all your bodily functions at all, and so you could look any time of the day or night, see what your blood pressure is, what your kidney output is, what everything, and it found to be something going wrong a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And you're talking about paralysis by analysis.
Uh-huh.
And when people are investing, you got to remember, this is for the long haul. And in theory, you want the market to be down every day, provided you're buying regularly.
Right.
Except for the day you retire, the day you cash out.
Yeah.
And that's when you want it up. But otherwise, up and down ticks of the market really shouldn't bother people. That said, it does bother a lot of people.
Yeah.
And if you follow it monthly, then you're probably an unhappy camper.
I'm reminded of a time about a little over a year and a half ago when I started paying attention to what I weighed, and I wanted to try to lose
oh, yeah.
weight, and
yeah.
I decided I was going to lose a pound a week for a whole year,
mm-hmm.
because at the end of it, I would lose 52 pounds.
Exactly.
And that's what that was
yep.
my goal,
yep.
was to hit 50, and I wound up only doing about 30 some, but
yeah.
still not terrible. But at the beginning, I was weighing myself
yeah.
every day,
yeah.
every single day, and I have a scale that has tenths of a pound.
Oh, yeah.
And I would angst over these tenths of a pound.
Yep.
And my wife would say, that's the most ridiculous
yep.
thing in the world, because you're in it for the long haul. You're doing this
yep.
for a year. And after a while, I came to the realization that slicing it that thin and trying to lose a fifth of a pound
yeah.
every day during the week so I could stay flat on the weekends was really overanalyzing
well,
it. And I think about that when we talk about
right.
the TSP.
And in a case like that, as an example, you finally figure out you have to use the same equipment. You have to have the same amount of clothing on
yep.
or not. And then you think, the same time of day, is it before or after dinner? Is
right.
it in the morning? And you think, when can I spend 5 minutes walking around naked, taking notes?